Well, later on in our service, I shall be preaching on Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. So I invite you to turn there in your Bibles now. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Let us hear the word of the Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Well, please have your Bibles open at the passage that we read from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 1. What we have in this passage is, in the words of Bishop J.C. Ryle, the announcement of the most marvelous event that has ever happened in this world, namely the incarnation and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I am well aware that this is a very familiar passage, probably to most of you here this evening. I'm sure that you've read it many, many times, perhaps especially at this time of the year, and no doubt you've heard many, many sermons preached on it as well. It is a familiar passage, and of course, with increased familiarity, we can sometimes lose sight of the wonder of what we read in this passage. But Ryle is right, isn't he? What is announced here is the most world-changing and epoch-transforming and marvelous event that has ever happened in the world. The incarnation, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope and pray that God might help us this evening to see again, to appreciate afresh some of the wonder of what we read in this passage. And there are two things really that I want to note with you this evening. Number one, that in this passage we see that God shows great favor to ordinary people. That's my first point. God shows great favor to ordinary people. And then secondly, God shows great power in impossible situations. Those are the two points that I want to consider with you this evening. Number one then, God shows great favor to ordinary people. In the first couple of verses of our passage, the angel Gabriel comes to the Virgin Mary and he says to her in verse 28, "Greetings, O favored one, O highly favored one even. The Lord is with you." And as I was preparing my sermon this past week, I was thinking if an angel came to me and announced something like that, perhaps my immediate response would be one of sheer joy and delight. Yes, perhaps some surprise. But I imagine that I would be full of joy. And yet, interestingly, what we note is that Mary's immediate reaction is actually one of fear and confusion. You can see there in verse 29 that she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And as I reflected a little bit further on the passage, it occurred to me that perhaps this wasn't altogether surprising. After all, Mary is just probably a young teenager. I very much doubt that she had encountered an angel before. And of course, we must remember as well that angels aren't exactly soft, fluffy creatures that perhaps the popular culture likes us to think that they are. They are members of the army of God. And so it's perhaps unsurprising that Mary's immediate reaction is one of being greatly troubled. And so the angel Gabriel reassures her in verse 30 and says to her, "You do not need to be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. God has shown you grace." And then we go on to read in verses 31 to 33 how exactly God has shown her grace, how exactly she has found favor with God. So let me read those words for us now. The angel Gabriel says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, note with me the truly remarkable nature of this announcement. We are, as I said at the beginning, so used to reading a passage like this at this time of the year that we are in danger of losing sight of how remarkable, how utterly astounding this announcement is. Gabriel says to Mary, "You will give birth to the Savior and to the King that God has been promising for centuries." In fact, you might note in the announcement that he makes that he draws quite heavily on those prophecies that we read in Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 9. He says, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son," drawing on that passage from Isaiah 7:14. And then he goes on to speak of how he will be the one who sits on the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end, drawing upon the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9, where we read that of his government there will be no end. He is the one who is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in fact, these promises, these prophecies of the coming of a Savior, the coming of a King from God, stretch all the way back, don't they, to the beginning of time when God promised that he would send the seed, the offspring of the woman who would come and defeat Satan. And for centuries, the people of God have been waiting for this promised one, this promised Savior and King. And now the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, "You are the one who will give birth to this promised Savior and promised King, the one that has been the hope and the expectation of Israel for all those years. You are the one who will bring him into this world. Oh, and by the way, you are going to give birth to one who is not merely human. You are going to give birth to one who is also God. You will be," the angel says, "the mother of God, according to his humanity. That's what he means when he says, he will be great, verse 32, and will be called Son of the Most High, Son of God. Now this is a remarkable announcement. But what is almost as remarkable, I think, is the one to whom it is announced, Mary. Have you ever asked yourself why? Why did the Lord choose Mary? Why did he choose her to be the bearer of this Savior, this promised King? Why did he choose her to be the Mother of God according to his humanity? Now, it's certainly not because Mary was sinless. She was a sinner, just like the rest of us. And it's certainly not because Mary was rich and famous. She was not a celebrity of her day. She was probably very poor and not very well known, easily missed, unnoticed. And it's certainly not because Mary was part of the political and social elite of that day. She was not a princess who lived in a palace in Jerusalem. Where was she from? She was from Nazareth. Nazareth, that backwater of a place. That place in the north of Israel, in Galilee. Do you remember what Nathanael said to Philip when Philip says to him, we've met Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet sent from God. He says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And this is where, of course, Mary is from. She is a teenage girl from this backwater of a place called Nazareth. In other words, there is nothing particularly special about Mary. There is nothing to commend her as a woman who would be the mother of Jesus. And so why did God choose her? And I think the answer is simply because God loves to show favor to poor, ordinary, nondescript people. God loves to engrace those whom the world ignores or neglects or pays no attention to whatsoever. Mary was probably largely unnoticed as she walked the streets of Nazareth. She was a young teenage girl. No one would have paid much attention to her, I imagine. She went largely unnoticed in the eyes of the world, and yet God notices her. And he doesn't just notice her, he highly favors her. He says to her, you are going to be the one who will bear the Savior of sinners. You are going to be the one who will bring into this world the King of all, whose kingdom knows no end. This is what you are going to do. You are a poor, nondescript, ordinary, teenage virgin. And I am going to do this wonderful thing through you. You are a highly favored one. God loves to show grace. He loves to show his undeserved kindness, his immeasurable grace to those who are weak and low and humble in the world. Now, of course, the favor that he shows to Mary is utterly unique. Utterly unique. No one else will ever again be the mother of Jesus. And yet, the underlying principle that God loves to show favor to those who are often ignored, who are perhaps often forgotten, who are maybe even despised, that underlying principle that God loves to show favor to such people remains true forever. Have you ever asked yourself, brothers and sisters, have you ever asked yourself, why has God been so favorable to me? Why has God chosen me to be his son, his daughter? Why has God lavished me with his grace? Why me? I mean, I'm not very wise according to worldly standards. I'm not particularly powerful. I'm certainly not of noble birth. I'm not particularly special, certainly not in the eyes of the world. There is nothing much to commend me. Why then such love to me? And all, of course, we can say in response to that is this, that our God, your God, loves to show grace to those who are poor, weak, ordinary, nondescript, unnoticed, easy to miss, sinful people. That is what he did with Mary here. And that is what he has done with you. And so God shows great favor to ordinary people. But secondly, God shows great power in impossible situations. Mary has been told that she will give birth to God's promised Savior and King. But this, of course, leads her to ask the obvious question in verse 34. How will this be since I am a virgin? How can a virgin give birth to a son? It is a physical impossibility. And so the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that Mary will conceive. She will not conceive by natural means. Joseph had no involvement whatsoever in the conception of Jesus, and nor for that matter did Mary. Mary was entirely passive in the entire process. It was exclusively by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The birth of Jesus was entirely natural. I'm sure it was very painful for Mary. But his conception in her womb was entirely supernatural. There are, of course, other instances in the Bible of what you might call miracle babies. Just have to think about Sarah, the wife of Abraham, who when she was 90 years old gave birth to Isaac. And then, of course, there was Rebecca, described as barren, but then the Lord enables her to give birth to Esau and Jacob. And then, of course, there was Rachel, also described as barren, but the Lord enables her to give birth to Joseph and to Benjamin. And then further on, there is Hannah. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that the Lord had closed her womb, but he hears her prayer and enables her to give birth to Samuel. And then here we have in this passage the example of another miracle baby being given, promised to be given to Elizabeth. That's what we read in verse 36. And behold, the angel says to Mary, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. That's what we read about in the opening section of chapter 1. She has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And all of this shows what? All of this shows, verse 37, that there is nothing impossible with God. Nothing whatsoever is impossible with God. But of course, nothing will show that more than what God is going to do with Mary. Mary says to God, how will this be? Since I am a virgin, God says to her, I am going to do it for you. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you that you will conceive the child in your womb. You see, just as God loves to show grace and favor to ordinary people, so he also loves to display his power in impossible situations. Now again, of course, what happened to Mary was entirely unique. Never again will God bypass those ordinary means of procreation. And yet, the broader principle still applies today. Sometimes you might be faced with seemingly impossible situations. Perhaps in your home, in your family, perhaps at work, perhaps in church. And you just think, how are we going to get through this? What shall we do? How shall we cope? And you must never forget this, that God, the Almighty, the Omnipotent God, is more than able to do way beyond what you ask or think. He's more than able to do above and beyond whatever you ask or think. Never, my friends, never underestimate the sheer power of your God, the one with whom nothing whatsoever is impossible. Apply this kind of logic when you are faced with situations in your own life that seem absolutely impossible and there doesn't seem to be a way out. Apply this sort of logic. My God brought the whole cosmos into being, totally unaided. He didn't have any help from anyone else. He brought it all into being by the sheer power of his words. My God regenerated my heart. Again, without any assistance from you. You were dead in your sins. How could you give him any help? Without any aid, without any help from you, God, by his power, the power of his Spirit, gave birth to you. Spiritually speaking, he gave you new, true, eternal life, totally unaided by his sheer sovereign power. Your God brought the Lord Jesus into this world. How will this happen? Mary says, I am a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. He will overshadow you. It's by the power of the Lord God and his power alone that Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And say to yourself, if God can do all of these things, these seemingly impossible things that no man could ever, ever dream of doing, if God can do that and so much more besides, then does he not have the power to help little old me in those situations I face that seem altogether impossible? There is, brothers and sisters, nothing impossible with God. God loves to show grace and favor to ordinary people. He loves to display his power in impossible situations. And as we come to the end of our passage this evening, we see Mary saying, as she's had this encounter, this perhaps somewhat frightening encounter with the angel Gabriel, she says in verse 38, in a wonderful spirit of submission, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your words. And shouldn't this be our attitude too? Shouldn't this be how we also respond to a passage like this? God showed incredible favor to Mary, and in a different way, perhaps, has he not also shown unbelievable favor to you? And God displayed, or promised to display in this passage, incredible power, and to defy that which seemed utterly impossible. And hasn't he done that in your life too? After all, think about it. His grace, his favor has been given to you in this Son who was promised to Mary. And his power has been more than amply displayed in the very same Son as well. And so in the light of that, as you think about the sheer grace and favor that has been poured out upon you in Christ, as you think about the power that God works on your behalf above and beyond what you could ever begin to ask or imagine. As you think about those things, what else can you say? But Lord, I too am your servant. Let it be according to your will in my life. Let me go and serve you in the light of all that you have done for me. I am your glad and joyful servant. May it be done according to your word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the great favor that you showed to Mary. She was sinful. She was poor. She was very ordinary. But you chose her to be the mother of the Lord Jesus because you love to display the wonder of your grace in the lives of very ordinary people. And you are the one who by your power caused her to conceive the Lord Jesus Christ in her womb. Oh Lord, we thank you for the abundance of your grace, not only to Mary, but also to us, in the one that she bore, Jesus Christ. And we thank you too for the glory of your power that has been displayed in the one who was conceived in Mary's womb, our most powerful, almighty Saviour, Jesus Christ. And may we, therefore, be your glad and joyful and humble, obedient servants. May all be done according to your will and your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.